This is www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Fiona. What have you got for us today?
Well, I have a quote from something that I was reading on the internet, and I think it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure I 100% agree with it, but it's something to chat about, I think.
Let's investigate.
Yes, let's investigate. It says, stop trying to be happy. If you have to try to be cool, you'll never be cool. If you have to try to be happy, then you'll never be happy. Maybe the problem these days is that people are trying just too hard. Happiness, like other emotions, isn't something you obtain, but rather something you inhabit. When you're raging pissed and throwing a socket wrench at your neighbor's kids, you are not self-conscious about your state of anger. You're not thinking to yourself, am I finally angry? Am I doing this right? No, you're out for blood. You inhabit and live the anger. You are the anger. And then it's gone. Just as a confident man doesn't wonder if he's confident, a happy man doesn't wonder if he's happy. He just is. What this implies is that finding happiness is not achieving it in itself, but rather it's a side effect of a particular set of ongoing life experiences. This gets mixed up a lot, especially since happiness is marked so much these days as a goal in itself. Buy X and be happy, learn Y and be happy, but you can't buy happiness, and you can't achieve happiness. It just is, once you get the other parts of your life in order. So what do you have to say to that?
Well, I think that's pretty spot on. And I think it's like happiness, love, they already exist within us. They exist within us already. Happiness exists within us. Mm-hmm. There are things outside of us influencing how we feel that would make us angry or make us something other than happy, that we're relying on to become happy. I think being happy, for me, the fastest way of being happy is to, especially if you're stressed at any moment, I'm just thinking this through right now, is to, you know, go soft belly, drop your shoulders. Hug an animal, take a deep breath, and then be in the moment. Be in the moment, because you can find the happiness if you let all the other outside, quote-unquote, reality trying to dominate something in your life. You're giving away your happiness in order to allow something else to dominate you, to make you angry, frustrated. I don't know.
I think it's, yes, absolutely. And I think it's also about trying. Because when we try to be loving, when we try, and you've seen people who are trying to be loving to someone, and it looks incredibly false. It's not their fault. They're trying to do it. Mm-hmm. But when we're trying to be happy, we really can't make it.
Well, there's that thing, fake it until you make it.
Sometimes that's helpful.
Yeah, that has worked in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's almost like that Zen thing about meditation, you know, and to achieve inner peace. You become inner peace. If you try to get to achieve inner peace, you defeat it. You can't do it, because it's the trying that defeats you.
Yes. So it's the try. If we can work on becoming conscious of the trying in our lives, where are we trying? Even in work, you know, I sometimes think, look at the huge piece of people who have made masses, say Oprah or one of those. Now they appear to be trying, but it's almost like it just takes them over. You know what I mean? When they start their businesses, they just get taken over, and they're kind of pushed forwards. And I'm sure they do some trying, but I think that in the great parts of our life, when we want to find fulfillment and joy, and because we've talked before that there are states that, like joy and love,
states of being,
joy and love, and they're not they're not emotions, actually. There is no opposite to joy and love. They are who we are.
Yeah.
And so they're always under there somewhere. But if we try, we cannot find peace, joy, or love because they're states.
Yeah.
Happiness, you sometimes can find, because if you have a wonderful cup of coffee or if you buy a new shirt for a short time, you can be happy. Yeah. But that's it'll just go. It's transitory. So, but the states of love and peace and joy, they're true embodiments of something you already have.
That's what I totally believe. So I'm working a lot more right now with just brief moments of meditation.
Mm.
It's just to, when I feel everything's going wrong, I can't make a plan to do this because this is happening, then the stress. So when I'm thinking, I can easily get stressed. So I'm trying to figure out a way to de-stress often. And it's just moments of, you know, the deep breath, sit down, put your feet on the ground. Feel your feet growing into the earth so that you're really grounded. And relax your belly, because we hold a lot of tension in our bellies. And, you know, we cannot, if we can relax our bellies, when our bellies are relaxed, we don't feel fear and we don't feel anger.
Mm.
Did you realize that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the prime places I go to just, and I call it my Buddha belly, let go of that. Take a deep breath, drop my shoulders. Open my hands up, you know.
And the hands hold a lot of tension,
yes,
too. So sometimes just massaging the hands or not pulling your fingers out to snap them, but just pulling the fingers gently, like a massage would do. And I think that can be helpful, too. And just reminding ourselves that we actually have those states within us. We just have
exactly
to uncover them.
It's just uncovering them.
And
exactly.
Happiness is a way into those states if it's not trying. Because if it's trying and we have to get a new car or a new shirt or a special cup of coffee or whatever it is, it just lasts for a little while, and then we feel disappointed because we feel cheated.
Well, here's the thing, exactly what you just said. So I've experienced recently, you know, I was busy being stressful about something and I saw a photograph and it just brought such joy and happiness to me because it was something old that reminded me of something. Mm. And I thought, oh, wow. And then I thought, you know, I was happy at that moment. And then I, instead of being disappointed that I'm not always in that, it was to sit down, soften the belly, absorb that. Yes. And then when I proceed, I am in a state of happiness then and there. So I proceed from the state of happiness rather than...
expand it.
Exactly.
And that's what Dr. Hanson has said about, finding happiness, is that find those moments. Don't just let them go by. If you extend them, they change your brain.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a huge deal for
right.
us. So, the trying in our life makes us very, very stressed. So it's about identifying throughout, the becoming mindful of when we're trying, and then asking ourselves, how could I do this without trying?
How can I be this?
Yes, without trying.
Yeah, because if we could be happy. Oh, just even saying that, Fiona, to you right now, just being happy. It just took me to the supermarket the other day when somebody said, oh, you go before me, and there's just such a sweetness. You know, I said, oh, thank you. And or when somebody in front of me didn't have bags, I said, oh, would you like two of mine? She said, is that, you know, I said, yeah, I'm paying it forward. Somebody paid it forward to me. All of a sudden there's happiness, and it gave her happiness. I'm checking out. I don't have enough bags. The woman who's checking me out said, I'm paying it forward. I'm giving you some free bags. And what a lovely circle, you know.
Yes.
So if we feel a moment of happiness, expand it, as you say, so that you carry it forward. You're feeding your body part the happiness within your body that it already exists there.
And then try to hold it for a few extra seconds, because usually what happens is we just let it go by and let it pass by. But see if you can hold it for 30 seconds. And or a minute, and just expand that into your body, and then it will be changing your brain cells.
And here's the other thing with that: changing your brain cells, yes. Like whenever I can, how they say, pay it forward, just do something anonymously, paying it forward. That brings me so much joy. It brings the other person joy. And whoever is around brings joy. And now I'm reflecting and talking to you about it. I'm filled with joy. So it's, and that's not trying to do something. That's being something. You know, that's being happy. Happy to do that.
The difference, I think, between trying and being is with trying, there's stress.
Yes.
There's always stress. So you know, if you find yourself stressed, you know you're trying. If it's no, then you know you're being.
That's the thing with the Zen. You know, I'm trying to meditate. Well,
that doesn't work.
No, you'll never meditate if you're trying, you know. It's just being, and that's the key to it. So, and you don't judge yourself for it. Oh, no. I'm just sitting here to, just let it go. Whenever you're meditating and you start thinking about something, say, oh, just, I'm thinking, and let it go and continue.
You know, it was interesting for me because when I was a kid, when I came back from a not good school experience, which was most of my elementary school, because it was a corporal punishment school, but I used to run into the yard and just lay in the grass or lay by a tree, watch an ant, and that was my way of naturally meditating.
Yeah.
But then when I was about 24 and I got into real Eastern meditation, every time I started to meditate, I'd fall asleep. And I was trying so hard, and it was getting frustrating. Yeah. And then finally, I think, after several years, I got that way, and I could go in deeply with that. But I noticed, you know, that as I the more I tried, the less I got there.
Well, I really have thoughts about this, too. When I used to have the kids in school or the kids in prison, and I'd do a guided imagery or something to relax them, de-stress them. And I'd always say, if you fall asleep, that's okay, because you'll get it on some, you know. So I feel that if you meditate and you find yourself falling asleep, that's okay.
Yes, it is.
That's totally okay. Don't judge yourself. The next time you do it, it might be you might stay a little bit longer in a meditation before you fall asleep. And then again, you might not. And it's okay. All okay.
And the thing is that space where we're going when we're meditating is the space we go when we're sleeping. So what the subconscious sometimes does is that as we're going deeply, it goes, oh, I know how to go here. I'm going to go to sleep. Yeah. So actually, it's taking you into that space that you want to go. It's just not conscious yet.
And the other thing that's so amazing about that, I have discovered, is that when we're in that space between meditation and sleep, we actually naturally are so aware on all levels. It's, I don't know what it's called, but I am aware if somebody's in trouble, if somebody needs something, if I'm instantly there, and I'm instantly there. You know, I can't tell you. It's just, it's an amazing. I think we're all meant to be like that, but we're just.
It's our natural state.
That's our natural state. That's why I say don't judge yourself. If you fall asleep, there's a reason.
Yeah.
You might be getting messages. You might be getting some wisdom somewhere. It's all part of the one thing.
It is, and it's part of discovering how to meditate. And as you go deeper and deeper, your mind's going to want to go to sleep again. So it's a pretty natural space because we do go to sleep. When we go to sleep at night, we do go to that deep space of deepest meditation and beyond. And I think that so it sometimes takes a while to train the brain to be able to go that deep without falling asleep.
Yeah.
And it is a wonderful thing. But getting back to what you said before, the moments of meditation are the best way to incorporate meditation and to kind of build a bridge between meditation and our daily life, which is, you know, I think that I've talked a lot about being able to go deeply in meditation and then coming out to a hell of a life. Well, it wasn't a hell of a life, but to a difficult life. And then it was like, how do I put the two together? There was no bridge to bridge that depth and beauty with everything going on and crazy things going on. And it was the moments of meditation which helped me to build the bridge.
I remember my beloved Lakota Heyoka brother, Chubb's black bear, would say to me, you know, after I'd been with them doing ceremony on the reservation for a month, 6 weeks or something, and I'd come back to L.A., I was living at that time, And I could feel the pressure and the stress and the anger of people around me and in the cars. And I thought, oh, it was so hard. And he would call me on the phone because he would sense it, you know. He would sense it. He said, what's going on? I said, oh, Chubbs, I just can't go out there. I can't. There's so much anger out there. And he said, no, it's all sacred. He said, everything is sacred. You know, just because there's concrete and you're not walking on the earth is below the concrete. You've been here and you've absorbed all the natural sacredness of life in all its purest form. And now you're to bring it to wherever you go, where people aren't aware of that it's out there. So in a sense, it's the same way. If you find that moment in meditation or that moment of happiness, you know, a remembrance that is happy, drink it in. You know, it's a gift. And it comes from way deep inside you because it's real. Yes. And it's the universe reminding you this is happiness and it's already there within you. So like what Chubbs would say to me, I would say, okay, I'll take a deep breath, put that smile on my face, and walk out of Laurel Canyon into Hollywood and take a with a big smile on my face. Sometimes I'd put a stick of feather in my hair and my braid. And people catch the smile and the joy, and it changes them. It changes them.
It does.
So we have work to do. Don't think you can't be happy.
No,
you
and are also, happy. Yeah, I mean, and it's not your fault if it isn't. You just have to find tools to enable you to get to those states of love, joy, and peace, and to find happiness in your life naturally. Again, expanding those moments of joy or just delight in your life is a way to change the brain so it's more used to being in the state of happiness.
Yeah.
And that because the brain is not used, the brain's programmed for negativity.
Yeah, I had a quote here that we were going to talk about, which is, the moment you change your perception, now this is a bigger picture, but it's the same thing. The moment you change your perception, you change the chemistry of your body.
Yeah.
So do you see what I mean?
We've done a lot of tests on that one too.
Yeah, so if we're unhappy, but we can change something, bring something, a memory or something, or hold an animal, or sit with your back to a tree and feel the heartbeat, the pulse of the tree, nature, all of that will bring you back to a time when your body remembers and can express to you happiness.
And being kind and compassionate and paying it forward, as you said, that also brings us to that expansive space that comes from our heart, really. So if you can find someone to just do something kind for or something loving for, that is, you know, it doesn't have to be big. It can, like you said, it can be stepping back and saying, why don't you go ahead? Because we all do this. You've got one or two things. I've got a whole bunch of stuff. Or just paying Starbucks when you go in there, pay for the person behind you. Yeah.
So I don't know if everybody, Earth Tribe Radio has a Facebook page. And every morning at the crack of dawn, I do a Mayan calendar reading for the day, the energy of the day. So today's energy that I did brought out the mantra that would serve us really well in the next few days to come. And the mantra was six things. It is kindness, compassion, dignity, integrity, generosity, and patience.
Yeah. Patience, we've done a show on too, and that's a tough one for our culture.
But these are six things. If we could just recite that mantra and be kind, compassionate, have integrity, have dignity, that's respect for ourselves and others, as I see dignity, generosity, the paying it forward, and patience.
Patience is a generosity in its own way, too.
Yes, exactly.
Because it's something, as a culture, tend to be very short on. So if you find you're getting annoyed in a situation, your gift to someone else or to yourself might be to breathe. And we've gone through all those. You can check out the patience one that we have on iTunes. But there, we've got a little dog who's decided he's going to say something next door.
The neighbor's dog. Well, it's because Miss McVitie Kitty is sitting outside there. But, I think this is good. Those are good. good. I think patience. So if you're in the checkout line and somebody's got all the coupons, you know, and you've got to get home to feed the kids, they're waiting for their food, and you've got an extra 20 minutes while they go through the coupons, just go soft belly, put a smile on your face, and realize that you're being given some extra time here, just some extra time.
This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
You're home on planet Earth.
We've got lots of animals talking here today, too.